We want to thank God this morning, and I'm still waiting, but we're going to go ahead. We're going to look at the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 33, and look at John chapter 17. And for our topic this morning, our theme is that the church as she should be. The church as she should be. And quickly, I want us to look at our internal truth. And what we have there is that it's in your bulletin, so if you can just flip there with me, since we don't have it going right now. The dynamic power of God is experienced among the believers as the result of unity, which fulfills the God-ordained purpose of spreading the message of Jesus Christ. What am I saying? Unity exists among the believers, not because I want to know Eunice because every Sunday is her birthday. No, not that I want to know my wife or this person, but it's the sole purpose of proclaiming and spreading the message of Jesus Christ. And that's what happened in the book of Acts in our early believers. Now, according to Acts, the early community of Christ followers responded as a result of Pentecost. In the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 41, it talks about the Pentecost. And thereafter, these believers, they devote themselves to worship. And not only that, to instruction, to fellowship, and sharing, as we're going to see later as we go on. So let me kind of lay the scene before us. Luke, who happened to write the book of Acts, he already described Christ's ascension to heaven, into heaven, and the day of Pentecost has come. Following that, the Apostle Peter preached a great message, and guess what? Peter's sermon, Luke reports, says that those who accepted his message, they were baptized, they responded, and they were baptized, and the Bible says, Luke says about 3,000 were added to the number a day. Can you imagine the message being preached a day and 3,000 responding? And now that Luke goes on to describe how the new community of believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They met together in the temple courts. Every day they share what they have with one another. And not only that, they said they ate in each other's home. And the community grew. Imagine somebody just come, Pastor, I'm stopping to your house to eat today. And this person call you and say, oh, I'm coming, Mrs. Long. I'll be at your door today to have dinner with you. Oh, says Miss Barbara, I'm coming to your house to have dinner with you. That was the fellowship they had. Amen? Now, as we go through our message today, Acts chapter 4, Luke estimated, said there were about 5,000 males. And he didn't say whether it was female or children. They didn't add it. So imagine just male. What more about a female than children? But imagine that happened. Now, the early church knew they existed. They knew they had a purpose. They knew they had a goal after receiving the gospel. But all of these things could not have come to fruition except they were united in one. Amen. It seems that my PowerPoint is not working today. But we're going to go ahead. Amen? Amen? And the first thing I want to take a look at is As we see in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, the church, as she should be, we found out there were unity among the believers. The believers unify as the church of God. The believer unify as the church of God. And how did they have it? They were unified as family in relationship. They were unified as believers in friendship. They were unified as believers, followers of Christ in partnership. Now, quickly, let us look at in family. They share their spiritual need. Because what? They believe that one true Father is our spiritual God. And so because God Almighty, who is the Father, they believe us fellowship as a family. They share a spiritual birthright. They share that the birth of being born again as God's children. Now, biblically, when it comes to the heart, and the heart is that part of a person's the thoughts, the will, the emotions, and the thinking from right and wrong, right? Moreover, it's the conscience. And when it comes to the soul, this is the activating part that causes an individual life. Without the soul, there is no life. Do you agree with me? Without the soul, there is no life. And the soul serves as an activating cause to give life. And this is the inner being of man. So, as we see in the verse, quickly let me go to there, or we can turn to me to Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Let's just read that very quickly. It should have been on the board, but unfortunately, chapter 4, verse 32. And it says, now the multitude of those who believe were of one heart and what? One soul. So you see, how all their hearts, how can it be that all their hearts and all their soul was being described as one? There were 5,000 or 3,000, but Luke said their heart and soul was one. You see, this friendship and single purpose kind of express the fact that Luke says that no one saw whatever they had or their possession as theirs. No. No one claimed anything for their own, for themselves. No. Instead, they all had things in common. No one thinking this is mine or that is yours or this is yours. No. But they all have one thing in common. And the believers, as they share their friendship, the church grew because of friendships of believers. Now, we cared about each other, right? We do care about each other. Oh, a few persons answered me. No problem. Now, this is a great church. This is a big church. Now, can you imagine if we have about 5,000 people all caring about each other? Think about it for a moment. Imagine some of them must have lived Camden. Some of them must have lived Burlington. Some of them must have lived Gloucester County. But guess what? They all care for each other despite the distance. It doesn't matter where they live, but they all care for each other. And all of that happened because of what? Unity among them. The believers were not only friends in a fellowship, but they were followers of Christ in partnership. The Bible says, Luke said, these men and women shared an enterprise together. They shared everything. They did not assemble for family gathering. They did not assemble for their physical needs only to be met. They came together for one objective. These men and women were partners in reaching the world for Christ Jesus. That was the goal. And because they were united, because unity was in their midst, they were able to succeed in carrying out that particular goal. You know, I read a story online, and it says that the group of folks, they gathered together to celebrate. And while they're celebrating, they noticed, a family noticed that their daughter was missing. And she must have gone into this field, and the grass was very tall, almost above her height. And they scattered around trying to find this little child. But they couldn't find her until evening came. And one of the little children among them said, "Why can't we lock arms together and just go out as one? And probably we're going to find her." And as the story went, they all locked arms in arm and went into the field. And because they locked arms in arms, they were able to quickly find that little child. And what am I saying? When we as believers, when we lock arms in arms, we are able to reach out and spread the gospel. The enemy will try, but he will not succeed. Because what? There is unity in our midst. And the believer is not only fellowship a partner in Christ. Even as the church grew daily, they believed as one. They taught as one. They were truth in their relationship with God and to each other. They were one body and one heartbeat and one soul. Now, you remember Paul in the book of Philippians chapter 1 verse 27. He says that only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come or I see you in my absence, he said, I may hear of your affairs. What did he say last day? He said, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, serving, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And that's what unity is all about as a church. One mind, one body, one soul, striving together for the gospel. Amen? Amen. The unity came from their preoccupation with evangelism, as we'll see in verse 33. And not only that, loving one another. Now, these believers, I believe they were so busy to the extent that they didn't care about their own priorities. They didn't care about what committee you on, what department you on, or which auxiliary you serving on. They all worked together as one body in order to take out the gospel. And that's why unity does. Amen? Amen. And quickly, let us, as we go into our second point, the believers experience the power of God as a result of being unified. They experience the power of God as a result of being unified. In verse 33, he says that Luke says that, and with great power, the apostle gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. He said, with great power, the apostle gave witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. Now, this theologian, I was reading one of his commentary, Dr. Rick, he called him Dr. Rick Easel. He said, and as I read, he said, the purpose of power is the engine to life. He said, purpose assures us that the steering wheel is connected to the engine. And not only that, he said, without purpose, there is no emotion. There is no motion without emotion. He said, there is activity without accomplishment. And there is efficiency without without effectiveness. So, these believers, they experienced the power of God because they had a purpose. And that purpose was to carry the good news out. And the only way they could carry the good news, the gospel, to preach the gospel out, was to be unified. You see, the power of God was an evidence that the church experienced growth. The power of God, in a matter of weeks, the church went from the upper room and started in homes. And that's how powerful the work of God went through. It doesn't matter whether your home was tiny, if you don't have a porch, you don't have a backyard, but it led from the upper room down to the living room and wherever they could sit to fellowship. And that's how powerful God worked in the midst. And the Bible says the church grew from 120 people to 100,000 people. And that was God's power being manifested daily upon the believers. And the power of God was also an evidence that the church had the ability to withstand the attack of the enemy. They were united. You know, Satan don't love unity among God's people. He will do everything to destroy that unity. He will come in every form to destroy that unity that God's children have. And we saw in the passage that we read, even if we go down to where the children of God, they sold their belongings, and what happened? Ananias and Sapphira came, right? Satan entered into them and lied to the apostle, to Paul, and said, oh, and to Peter, and said, oh, this is all that we sold and brought to the church. The devil was trying to destroy that unity. The devil was trying to distract the disciples from proclaiming the message. And so what the enemy does, he brought confusion in the midst that the disciples had to tell the church to establish group that would take care of the matter of the church. All of that was the work of the church, the devil. But guess what? But because they were united, they did not give in to all the tricks the devil brought before them. And that's what unity does. They did not give in. They prayed and established, and God saw them through. Now, here is one thing. The power of God was an evidence that the church found strength in diversity. These believers, the early church, they were mixed. They go on the day of Pentecost and say, I need men from Galilee. How are they speaking our language that we could hear them speaking and understand why they are speaking? They were mixed. They were from different backgrounds. But that didn't stop the work of God from going on. They made it through, even through diversity. They were able to stay together as one church and succeed. Amen? The early Christians, they realized that the diversity could either be a source of division or a source of power. But guess what? They chose the source of power. They were not all alike. They were all not the same. You know, when you attend an orchestra, they got different instruments. They got the piano, they got a guitar, they got all these instruments, right? But at the end, all these instruments play the same note and carry the same rhythm. It doesn't matter whether you're playing a trumpet. It doesn't matter whether you're playing the piano. It doesn't matter whether you're playing the saxophone or whatever you play. But they all play the same note. And because they play the same note, everything comes up so unique and beautiful. And the sound is so great that you hear, you won't imagine what is going on. But that's how the church in the early days did. despite with all the diversity, they played the same note. And they were able to succeed. Amen?
Amen.
In short, church, unity can exist even in the midst of diversity. Because why? We all follow the same note. We all play the same note. We all are doing what? Serving the same one God. And not just serving him, but we are serving him with one purpose. And that one purpose is to reach out beyond these walls, beyond our homes, to our community, and even those who have not received the gospel. And that's we saw in the book of Acts as the believers share the gospel because of unity. And not only did the believer experience power, but they discover favor from God. They discover favor from God. In verse 33b, it says that, and great grace was upon them all. These believers experienced favor, they experienced power, they experienced grace from the Lord. If they were not in one accord, if there wasn't unity among them, they would have not experienced the grace from God. Because our God is not a God of confusion. Our God is not a God of disunity. No, he's a God of unity. He's a God I want to see his children together, because serving him as one will be able to allow us to accomplish his purpose and the goal for which he has called each and every one of us. It will allow the church for which it has been established to go out and do God's work. And that's why we see here the believers experienced favor in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. It tells us that they were earnest and united in prayers. They prayed sincerely. Prayer was the first and last resource of these believers. And because of that, if great grace from the Lord rested upon the believers, and that grace can rest upon us in our own time today. And not only that, they discovered the favor of God because they were steadfast in devotion to the scripture. They studied in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Luke tells that they studied the scripture from home, the gathering in different homes, studying the word of God. And because they devoted their time to studying God's word, they obtained favor. Luke said they experienced great grace was upon them because they devoted their time in studying the word of God. And not only that, church, in love, they also experienced God's grace and favor because what? They love each other. They share. They give. Now, none of these early church believers were designed to kind of attract unbelievers. They were not designed to wherever they go as they gather unbelievers. No. The reason why, because unbelievers came in the church group because they were united and they focused on one purpose, serving God. And if they had not focused on that, if they had not tuned their hearts in unity, if they had not lived as being committed to the work of God, these things would have not happened. But because they commit themselves, new people kept coming in because of what they did. The Lord added. In verse 47, it says, the Lord added to the church day by day those who were being saved. Isn't that great to see how God worked so greatly among his people. This is very important. And like I said earlier, Satan's work is to bring this unity about God's children, right? Unity is key to God. And as we come to close on our message this afternoon, I want us to turn to John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. And what can we gather from there as we close? In the passage that John wrote, he says, I do not pray, and this was Jesus, by the way, praying, right? He said, I do not pray for these alone, but I also for those who will believe in me through the word, and they all may be one. Jesus saying that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. You following that? He didn't stop there. He said, that the world may believe that you sent me. If we are not in one, the world is not going to believe that we are Christian. If we are not one, the world is not going to listen to whatever we say. If the church should be the church she claims to be, the church ought to be one. Amen? Amen. And let's continue. In verse 20, it says, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in what? One. And not only that, he said, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. That was Jesus' prayer for the believers. And even though Jesus said the prayer for the believers, but we also were being prayed for. This prayer goes to us, is for us also, that we be one in him. He said that the world may know. Jesus emphasized the power of unity among his disciples to convince an unbelieving world. You know, since the outbreak of COVID, the church has suffered greatly. And sometimes you see folks who ministers or theologians, you hear and listen to things that they are saying, politics and what have you, and you wonder, where is Jesus in them? Instead of the church being a place that they run to, the church is running to them. The church no longer wants to be the place that these politicians can come and seek refuge and reach out to obtain that grace from God. Instead, the church is split. Where is that unity that the early church experienced that God did greatly in their midst? Amen. You see, Jesus prayed for the unity of the Christian. He said, if we are not unified, what happened? It hinders the spread of the gospel. We focus on different things instead of the thing that matters the most. You know, one of my professors, he says that as pastor, sometimes you're going to be in the church and you're going to hear members say, you know what? This royal, it doesn't need to be here. We got to change the royal. And the pastor will say, no, it doesn't need to be changed. It looks good. And just for common rock, there's going to be confusion. Just for rock, going to be confusion. Is it matter when it comes to the gospel? And that's what the devil wants to see. He brings in those common, those petty things that doesn't matter, and we hold on to it. But Jesus is saying that he prayed that we should be one in him. And I think about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they are one. And if they can work as one, and God being the head of the church, Christ, why can't we be as one in unity and serving the purpose of God? And that's why Jesus prayed for. He said that they may believe in. He prayed that, that our unity for our community will be together, just as the Father and He are one. Isn't that unique? Isn't that what the church should be? United as one force, fulfilling the God-ordained purpose of spreading the message of Jesus Christ. Nothing else but the message of Jesus Christ. Because unity through the power of the Holy Spirit allows the believers to experience God's blessing. And because of unity, they were able to expand. The church grew daily. The Bible said, and the Lord added unto them daily. If they were fighting among themselves, no one would have come and joined them. If they were arguing among themselves about the Holy Spirit or speaking in tongues or what have you, if they were arguing and saying things that doesn't matter, no, the church would not have grown. But because they were in unity, caring for one another, selling their possession, giving to those who are in need, it doesn't matter where, how far you are, they were concerned about each other. Even with their diversity, they were concerned about each other. Even with their distances, they were concerned about each other. They seek unity in order to what? Proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why we as church have been called. And that's why we as church, we live for daily to be united and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Not only for our sake, not only for our family, not only for our friends, but for those who have not heard or received the gospel. And if we should do that, we need to lock arms in arms and be able to move forward and be able to win souls and spread the good news of Jesus Christ.